Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org. Or call 507-645-8877.
Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning. This is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. Thanks so much for being with us here today. We're going to celebrate all things creating and share some stories. And of course, we're going to tune our imaginations. And I was thinking about this weekend or next weekend's studio art tour, and I was thinking about all the friends that are on the tour that I've got to know over the years, and was thinking about and this transition makes absolute no sense, but it's where my brain went when I was putting together the notes for today's show. Is I was thinking about my tomato plant that I gave you a story about. This was probably at the beginning of the summer. And you, so for those of you that have been wondering what happened to my tomato plant, I'm going to give you the update on that. And it was, here's what happened. And this might have happened to you too sometimes. You go out to the garden and like in one day, all of a sudden, boom, it's just this giant bush of tomatoes. This was an actual cherry tomato plant. And so I was in the garden trying to get the crazy wildness back into the I forgot what they're called, the braces that you put around the tomato plant just to kind of keep them supported. And of course, I broke off a branch and I was so crushed. I just couldn't believe how sad it was that to have this broken plant that had yellow flowers and had that beautiful, earthy, bright summer smell, that thing that only tomato plants give you when you touch those stems. And so I was just devastated, and I couldn't put it on the compost pile. I thought, this is alive and I need to do something. So I brought it into the house and I thought, well, it'll be like a nice bouquet. So I put it in a vase of water and thought, at least I can enjoy it for a few more days. And it did. It actually kept that little smell. If you got close enough, you could get back to the garden. It was like having the garden in the house. So I'd never done that before. And you know what happened? The stem started growing roots. And I was like, I didn't know you could do this. And then one of the green tomatoes turned red. And then one day I looked and there were so many roots, I decided maybe it's time to put it out into the garden. And maybe it could make, maybe into a pot, and it could make this transition to an outdoor life. So I had this old chip flower pot and some potting soil, and I put that branch in the pot. Not sure if it was going to make it, but I kept checking on it and cheering for it and praying for it. And I thought maybe I'll just give it a better chance at a longer life. And to my amazement, that plant has survived the summer. There's still some yellow flowers. It probably didn't get pollinated and didn't turn into tomatoes. And most of the green tomatoes stayed green, but there's like maybe two or three right now that are orange, and then one that actually is red. So I have some tomatoes from that plant. And it was just really exciting to have that happen. I felt connected to this plant and found myself rooting for its success. And I wasn't keeping it alive to make tomatoes, but just to have this beautiful life continue. And I sure feel better now about snapping off the branches. And maybe someday that'll happen to you and you'll know what to do. I hope the plant had some great days soaking in the sun. And that's what we should be doing now. Today, it's not exactly going to be a sunny day, but you can always find those rays of sunshine. And I think there's no better way, this is where we get back to the studio art tour, to enjoy what is happening in the fall than to go on the studio art tour. It is happening next weekend. That's October 7th and 8th, with some studios being open on Friday the 6th. And, you know, I love this tour because I just like getting out into the, you know, parts of our region. And I know there have been many times on this tour where I've pulled the car over on a little country road or side road and just taken pictures or just took in the vista because the leaves were glorious. The sky had this great blue color, and it just felt like there was, I needed to soak in all of that was happening. And then you get to the studios and it's like just, you know, energizing yourself to be able to go and make it through the winter when you see these artists in the space that they work. It's a really unique tour, and I am thrilled to be able to talk about that today. So I'm going to turn the mics and welcome my guests to the show. I just think it's like looking at a list of great artist friends that have come together again for an event in the fall, and I cannot wait. This year's studio tour has 18 studios and 33 artists. You can follow along with us on their website, which is Studio ARTOUR. So there's just the one T in there. So I always hesitate when I'm pronouncing it. You know, don't want to say Studio Art Tour because that would be implied too. Studio Art Tour is how I've decided to pronounce that. And it is studioarttour.com. And you can click on the doors or the artists up at the top, the list, or the map, and it's just going to be a brilliant show. Saturday, October 7th from 10 to 6, Sunday from 10 to 5. And then once you visit a studio or their website, you'll know which of the studios are open Friday the 6th, and that's from 4 to 8. And it covers Farmington, Northfield, Nearstrand, and Faribault. And I want to welcome my guests, Tammy Ressler and Rebecca Tolley. Are here to share some of the details of the tour. But first, let's start off by having you introduce yourselves a little bit, your artwork and your studio space and your world. You can tell us, Tammy, a little about Shattuck St. Mary's. And let's start with you.
This is actually my fifth year on the art tour. And I feel like you, like when I go down this list of all the artists, I would say most of them I have a relationship with. And I really didn't, you know, when I went into it, apart from going on the tour and visiting people in their studios, I had some friends. I'd been at the Paradise for years and years, so I did have some friends on it. But being on the tour and being involved with the planning and creation and stuff like that, the administrative part of it has given me such an opportunity and such an insight to get to meet people and build those relationships and, like you said, be inspired by people's artwork. So, you know, that's the thing about creating art is that you have to be surrounded by art to be inspired by it and want to create more because you see it around you and it just makes the world a better place.
I can echo that. Yeah. And for those of you you've been on before, we've talked about a couple things, but one of the things you do is at the Shattuck St. Mary's.
Yep. So I work with the Fessler Lampert Performing Arts Series. And next Thursday, I'm super excited because we have a bluegrass concert. It's bluegrass and old-time music. It's a Venezuelan musician and a North Carolinian musician, and they have teamed up to do this bluegrass show. And actually, I got a call the other day from a guy. He called in to work and said that he had seen them in Missouri, and he teaches bluegrass and is very involved in bluegrass, and he said it was amazing. He said it was just life-changing. And I was like, wow, like I love bluegrass music. In fact, it's why I bought my van. I bought my car because I wanted to go to the bluegrass festival up north, and I didn't want to drive with my car windows down for 3.5 hours. So I went out and bought a car so that I would have air conditioning. And then I stopped, and now I had this big car. So I stopped and picked up my mom and her boyfriend and my nephew along the way and brought them with me to the bluegrass thing. So, yeah, that's I'm really excited about it. So it's next Thursday, October 5th at 7:30 at Shattuck.
And they're called Larry and Joe.
Larry and Joe.
What a great name.
Right? If you're going to do bluegrass, you should really change your name to Larry and or Joe. Because That's the only way you're going to get away with it.
Well, and I love the line in the promotion. It says, Larry and Joe were destined to make music together, even though they're from Venezuela and North Carolina.
Right?
I want to hear that story.
Right. The world's colliding. So if people go to, it's just S, like Shattuck, dash SM, St. Mary. So S-SM.org/tickets. There's more information about them. And all of the shows this season are just $10 for adults and $5 for kids.
That's very reasonable.
Youth. Yeah, because they have the supporters of this series want to make it affordable for people to come and see these amazing shows. So there's this one, and then the next one is actually November 2nd, which is also a Thursday. And it's Lizzie the Dream Girl, and she is actually a therapist who does hypnosis for entertainment. And so she believes in laughter as therapy as well. So that should be really fun. So I'm really excited, and I really hope that people will come down and experience that, because performing, so when I work at Shattuck, I'm the coordinator for the performing and visual arts departments. And to me, they really go hand in hand. Like, you get the stimulus of the visual and the, you know, oral, and mm-hmm. and all of that is so important to keep your brain firing on all of its cylinders. Not that my brain is firing on all of its cylinders, but I like to think occasionally it does.
Yeah, and
it can't hurt.
I can say I saw Dessa when she was there, and it was, I love that theater. Yeah. It's really
it's a beautiful
space, and the building itself is a really great venue. It's just a few miles down the road. So
it's really interesting, because I had, before I started working there, again, with, like, there's so many aspects to artwork, and architecture is one of those things. And so you go in and you see this arch, and you see this big building and the clock tower and all of these different, architectural features that are so interesting. And it just, I think, enhances your whole experience to mm-hmm. be in this environment that kind of makes you feel like, wow, something really cool is going to happen here.
Yeah.
It does.
Right. So thank you for sharing those details, a little extra promotion on Art Zany Radio. And we can do that with Rebecca as well, as you introduce yourself, because you have some work in a beautiful museum down in Mankato that we want to talk about, the Carnegie Art Center. So you are a painter, and you also have a new studio, too. So we have two things we can talk. Yeah, so tell us a little bit.
So I'm Rebecca Tolley, and I am an oil painter and a teacher. And that keeps me very busy, because I own a gallery on Division Street here in Northfield. It's a new space. I moved from a smaller space to a larger space. It has a bigger window, has more room for artists and teaching and my artwork and others' artwork. In fact, I just, we had the Emerging Artist exhibit, which I do that every year for my students. Anybody that paints with me in a class, they're able to have an exhibit, invite their friends and family, and show off their creativeness, which is so wonderful, and they love that, and so does the families and everybody involved. I do several things there. I've actually even recently, with one of my friends, my artist friends, we went south of here a couple of miles and did plein air painting. That's something I have not done in quite a while, which plein air means painting outdoors and very quickly, a little bit smaller. And I quite enjoy it, because I do love love nature.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the art tour I've been on, I think, 7 years. I've only been in Northfield 9 years. Came from Colorado. Before that, it was Chicago, and then before that, it was raised our children in Burnsville, Minnesota. But so I love the art tour. Actually, it was Judy Say Willis who invited me to join, and I've made a great many artist friends from that experience and learned a lot and become more of a marketer, because of that fact, delving into to the aspect of being a different artist. There's more to art than, of course, just painting it, and that's a new experience. But growing into that, but what I love about the art tour is the opportunity of talking with people about the art. So many interesting conversations that happen from people that love art. And I think that's the most exciting thing for me, because I do get very animated when I'm talking about different techniques and painting and what it means to me and the spiritual aspect, as far as, you know, it's just something that comes out of me. It's more of a soul thing. But then I also do a little bit of art activism, too, because of that. And because I have, I like a little twist in the wind thing.
Oh, boy.
That's good. That's good.
Oh, yeah. I don't make any excuses for that anymore, but I like, like recently, it's a painting about the Supreme Court, and then I did one of COVID, which it's something that you don't start out to do, but end up, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
It, for me, it happens. That's why I do what I do. And anyway, it's a great thing. The Studio Art Tour is great. I love it. I love the other artists that I've worked with and become friends with, because I really knew no one here in Northfield. It's all kind of starting from scratch, but everybody's been very inviting. I love the town. It's that, you know, one morning I'm out there sweeping the front of my sidewalk in front of the gallery, and you can hear the busyness starting to wake, the city waking up. Mm-hmm. And I felt, I could be in some little town in Europe and hear these kind of sounds. And I just like, wow, this is fabulous. Mm-hmm. You know, I just felt a nice little glow from that of being able to experience it.
Do you want to talk about the show down in Mankato at the Carnegie's Art Center?
Yes. You know, it was on Instagram, which I'm not on there a whole lot, but somebody had put it up there, and the night before I finally remembered, oh, I should do this. So I entered one of my paintings. It's called The Silent Land, which is a very, for me, it's very spiritual, because it's a dripped painting of oil painting, very large, and it has a starry sky, and they said they loved it. They loved it, and it got juried in. It's a juried show, which I don't do very often either. And the opening will be October 6th.
Next Friday.
Next Friday, when the opening is, but my husband will be watching the gallery. And I thought, well, it's important that I be there for the opening. This is the first time that I've been in the Carnegie, and what a beautiful space that is, and very welcoming from, and I forgot his name, who was in charge. I don't remember, but anyway, he was very, very, very nice, and so I'm looking forward to the other art, seeing that, and kind of expanding my connections a little bit down there.
That's
congratulations.
Should be, yeah, that's
that.
Really exciting. I thank you for sharing it, so listeners can go, because the show there is open through the 21st. So if they aren't able to come next weekend, they can go and down to Mankato. Another great drive for a local regional spot to visit. So that's very exciting. I wonder. I was thinking about for all of the artists on the Studio Art Tour, and you can tell me about yourselves. Is there, because you do know that this is coming up in the fall, how does that affect your rhythm of, you know, making art or thinking about what should I have ready for this, or how does my studio space change? I'd love to hear what that does as your process as an artist.
I don't know if you talk to a lot of other artists. So I talk to a lot of, because I'm constantly
constantly like touching base with all the different artists in the tour and, you know, seeing what kinds of things are going on. And I hear at this point a ton of panic. Well, there's a lot of panic out there, people. Support your local artists. They're panicking.
But isn't that, that's probably always a part of the process. Is that because it's harder to find that rhythm?
It's because it just takes a long time to create art.
Mm.
So it just, it isn't like people are like, oh, I'm just going to make a whole bunch of stuff now because I've got this thing coming up. It's that you think that you have time, but everything takes so long, and it's people start a long time beforehand. So a lot of artists that I talk to, they're in this constant state of why do I keep signing up for all this stuff? Because they think they're going to have more time, and things just take longer than you think, because most artists, I think, are perfectionists. They want things to be the way they visualize them in their head, and it takes a long time to get that right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, whether people are painting or making jewelry or making ceramics or fiber art or whatever they're making, or wood art, they're constantly trying to develop that and then reevaluating what you see and how can you tweak that now to make it match the vision of what you want it to be or what you want it to say. And it's a process, and I don't think that you can necessarily know how long it's going to take you, because it isn't like baking a cake where you have a recipe that
exactly.
you follow and you bake it for 40 minutes. It's that you're doing it, and sometimes your hand doesn't do what your brain tells your hand to do. And now you have to fix that. And that takes extra time, or whatever it is. So, I think everything just takes a little longer than you think it's gonna, or maybe it just doesn't go the way. Maybe you find a different direction. You're in the middle of doing something and it's like, well, that's not going to be what I thought it was going to be. It's actually going to be something else. And so then you take a left turn and now you're doing something else. Or like for my birthday in August, I got a book of sculptures and I was very inspired by that. And then I had to just drop what I was working on and make a sculpture because duh, now you have to do that. So all of the things I was working on that I had sort of planned for, I had to push aside because now I had to do this other thing. So,
well, I can see how sculpture might inform your ceramic art.
Oh, yeah. I love doing sculpture.
There's a relationship between structure and building and, you know, trying to, you know, craft something that has...
Well, and that's the thing, is it takes it takes as long as it takes, but it's like you make it and then you've just spent 6 weeks making one thing, you know, one thing that may or may not ever find a buyer, because I may or may not ever want to put it out there. So it's just, art is such an odd endeavor in a lot of ways. It's not like going to a job and getting paid hourly. Sometimes you make something that you may decide you don't want to sell for some reason, but you've spent months working on it, and now you're like, actually, I really like that. I don't think I'm ready to let go of that.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody will say, oh, I really have to have that. And you're like, well, I made that for somebody else, so now I have to make them something else. And yeah, it's a weird, it's a weird pursuit. Art.
How about for you, Rebecca? Is there a rhythm to knowing that the show is coming up in the fall, that changes anything about your process?
You know, not really. I get to this point because painting to me is it has to say something. So every piece is thought about. In most cases, I would say that I want to express movement, and I want to express a thought or express, which is harder to do. I've done some plein air. I'm doing plein air, and I used to do landscapes and things like that, of course. But to me, it's more about there's a great quote from Anselm Kiefer, who was still alive and producing. In fact, when we were in Venice recently, he had a show up, and he does an exhibit, I would say, large, large pieces of art that were put into the, I think it was the Doge's Palace there, which went over very, very old art. But his quote is, art doesn't, and I'm probably paraphrasing here, art can still be art and say something. Mm-hmm. And I totally believe that. He's been such an inspiration to me. And yes, I could paint. Yes, and I these days I'm having some prints made. That's kind of my solution, which I have been well received, of prairie, older prairie, you know, butterflies, and they're out in the prairie. Or I love the prairie because it's very lyrical and rhythmic, and the wind blowing, and being able to put that into my paintings is extremely important to convey that to people looking at my artwork. And so it's all very I don't want to say existential, but very moving to me. So when that doesn't happen, which, you know, of course it's not going to happen every time, you know, it becomes a little more of a struggle. But getting ready for this show is, well, okay, I'll make a couple more prints. I'm not particularly selling my originals right now. I've been asked to, but for now I'm hanging on to quite a few of them because I have sold some that I wished I still had. Mm. So, and once it goes up on the wall, other artists will say, well, do you ever take it down? I said, of course I do. It'd still be in the frame, and there I am, it's in the back, and I'm painting on it. Mm-hmm. And hoping I don't mess up the frame at the same time, because it's oil paint, because I just get kind of driven this way. But mm-hmm. it's a wonderful, being an artist is a wonderful thing if you can tap into that, and that's important for me to talk to others about, tapping into that feeling of spiritualness, art, soul. It's so important these days to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. That's a really great insight. And I encourage people to visit studioarttour.com, and you can get see some of the images that we're talking about from both Tammy and Rebecca. And you should, I know that, Tammy, you're going to be at the Paradise Center for the Arts. That's mm-hmm. one of the stops on the tour. That is number, let's see, I wrote it down, 10.
Yep.
And so you'll be there with other artists.
Yeah.
And tell me what you'll be bringing and what people can see from you at this next weekend.
So I do pottery and I do ceramic art, so sculptures. And I make bodies that hang on the wall that are sculptural bodies. And I've actually been sort of enamored with making heads lately. Because some child left their doll in my yard last year, and I put it up by my little library to, you know, hopefully they would come and claim it again, but they did not. So I decapitated it and made a mold of its head. And then have been making sculptures incorporating these little heads. So that's been super fun for me, but I do a lot of sculptural things like that, and I do a lot of raku, so I really enjoy the process of raku, even though I lose a lot of stuff because raku is very hard on your products. Mm-hmm. But it's fun to do still, and I like experimenting with different types, different firing techniques and things like that. So I always really encourage people to come, like when I do raku firings, I invite other people to come, and people who maybe aren't necessarily quote unquote artists but are interested in it, because I think a lot of times if you can just show people what you're doing and get their hands in it, then they find themselves in art a little bit more. That's one of the things, like Rebecca, when you were talking, I kept thinking about how one of my pet peeves is when people say, oh, I'm not artistic. Mm. I can't do art. Yes. And I'm like, you're alive. You're breathing. You're thinking, hopefully. You're, you know, you can do art. Like, literally, if you just pick up a thing and make it into something else, you have started down that pathway of seeing who you are. And I love that so much. And I love meeting new artists. And we have some new artists on the tour this year who are either new to the area. And I like that they've been making connections with other artists in the area and starting to feel more at home. And people who are developing as artists and are really finding themselves, and part of finding themselves is that marketing part of it, and starting to get out and sell their work. And for me, getting out and selling my work is not so much about selling the work as about making those relations, building relationships, mm-hmm. and making connections and helping people find art and bringing art to the community and helping people in the community understand that there's art all around them and that they can be part of that. And that's, for me, that's what the tour is about. Part of that is I have another job, so it's not like I don't necessarily have to get out there and sell work. Although I don't know what I would do with it if I didn't sell some of it, because my house is full. But I like getting people into finding themselves and becoming artists, giving people opportunities to become an artist.
I think that's part of what is inspiring about it, yeah. is, and you get to be in the studio with these artists, so you sometimes see the tools, you see mm-hmm. the beginnings of a painting, and you're like, oh, that's how you get, you know, how you build up layers, or, you know, you see somebody with a pot in process and you're like, oh, I didn't realize it takes that long to dry, or, right. you know, some of the different stages of art being made. And yeah. that's insightful and exciting to see, rather than sometimes just in a gallery, you might just see the final product and you don't know that, like you said, some things can take months yeah. to get to, and you get to be a part of that. And, that is inspiring, and it does, if it you know, like, makes you feel that creative energy, and it's in all of us, yeah. like you said.
And the thing about the Paradise, being at the Paradise, I mean, I've had a pretty long relationship with the Paradise anyways, because I came to Faribault in 2006 when I started working at the Paradise, and I've had this connection with it ever since. And when people come in there, they're in the pottery studio, they're seeing the things, and so I think there's this connection where people can see that they have a place. They come into a studio that is open to the public. They can become a member. They can do work there. They can come into the boutique studio and they can see the tools that they would be using and touch those tools and know that they belong there. And so sometimes I think, like you say, when you go into a gallery, you see the work, but you don't necessarily see how you fit into that. And you can buy it and bring it home and use it. And I personally have a huge mug collection from lots of different potters because I like to pick the mug of the morning. So I buy a lot of art from other people, and my house is full of art, mostly from other people. And I like that I can look around my house and know who made that thing. And I can see, I know where they made it. And I can see myself doing that. Because when I first came to the Paradise, I was a potter. But then I learned how to do batik. And I've learned how to paint because I met the artists who did those things and was in an environment where they were welcoming and nurturing. And I try and be that for other people. And I think most of the artists on the tour, that's part of the deal. Like Rebecca's a teacher. You know, and people come in and they paint with her. And when I went to the was that the emerging artist that we had? So when I went to that and I bought this little thing and I put it in my office at work, and I love looking at it and I love seeing it and thinking about it and being inspired by it. And, you know, it isn't something I've ever done. This little piece of art that I bought, it's not something I would ever do. So I like seeing how somebody else did it and thinking about how they did it. And I like buying art that I would never do because I don't want to do everything, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So I like surrounding myself with lots of different things that are artistic that I can enjoy and not necessarily do, but think, I know who did that. So if I ever did want to do it, I think they'd help me learn how.
That's true. You do get to build those relationships, yep, too. And Rebecca, you're in your new studio in the space, which is very a recent. I'm so delighted that you did open a new studio, because I saw the for sale sign go up in the old space and I thought, what happened? No. And then there you are. You open two doors down, right on Division Street in downtown Northfield. And you are studio number three. Is it three? Yes, I think three this year. Did I have that right? I can look that up here.
Yeah, it's right here. She's actually in studio number four.
Four.
That Tolly Fine Art.
Okay.
508 Division Street.
Like, oh,
downtown,
I
North.
No.
Yeah, right.
That was me. That was my hair.
Remember
error.
How I said everybody's panicking? You just right. had a little thrill of it right next to me.
And so what will people see in the new space? And what can people look forward to on that stop of the studio art tour?
Well, first I want to say that last year I bought a piece of Tammy's pottery that I love with the greyhound.
Thank you.
Which is different. I like different and inspiring. So it's the same thing for me, like Tammy was talking about, being inspired and looking at something different. Maybe you look, it helps you look at the world different. It helps you. My art, of course, you know, it's subtle. There's some mm-hmm. art that is very subtle, and I do that. I have a particular painting that I did of the, it's a birthday cake. Mm. I did not start out doing that, but I put an object in the middle of it. My husband, Larry, comes in and says, oh, it's a birthday cake. And I was so mad. I was fuming. I don't paint birthday cakes. But it's subtle, so I kind of, I said, oh, okay, let me think about this. And what it ended up is I had candles shooting out of the top of it, and it was right after the Uvalde shooting of those school children, and so I've named it Never Another Birthday, Uvalde, Texas, 2022, and I did it right after that. And so that's what I hope people will see when they come into my studio. It's part of me. I wouldn't say it's all of me, because of course I love painting some beautiful things. I've done beautiful things, and I like that also. And I think there's a place for both. But in this respect, I want to say something, because I've not always been good with words. So, and if I can do it in a way that people have to look at it and understand it, is really a wonderful thing that we all become aware of, that art is also something that speaks, mm-hmm. and in a different way. So, yeah, like I said, I'm doing some plein air, so there's some few little landscapes, and there's prints that I'm doing these days, and to paint.
I was going to ask about your teaching space.
In my teaching space. Oh.
I knew we should talk about that.
We have such a great group. Oh, my gosh. I kind of slowed down in the recent months because, I don't know, I just felt like I needed to. I can get very overwhelmed. So I have an open painting studio one, which is for beginners, and then an open painting studio two. And that will start back up in January. So, but right now, I've got a minis class that's a little workshop that we do, collage. We cut up some of our old paintings. If you think it doesn't have any use anymore, oh, it does.
That's a really brilliant.
Slap it on to a... with different artifacts and different pieces of different things. Usually, you know, I'm tearing my canvas. I'm putting, and it's just a very creative. We all are sitting there doing this and sharing ideas. It's a sharing ideas of ideas and thought processes and techniques, and so we just can go on forever. And it's just a wonderful thing. So that happens in October, and then I think I might have an exploring oil painting. But I hope to also have a demo on Saturday or Sunday, and I'll probably set it up for both days during the studio art tour, of using cold wax, which is a very textured, layered technique with oil painting and kind of a, it's actually beeswax, but it made me use different tools. So you use whisk brooms and chopsticks and spreaders, and you go to the used a bit store, and you go to the kitchen section, and you find all kind of cool things. Really cool.
I'm so jealous of everybody who gets to go to your studio during the tour.
But anyway, and I think that's part of it, is that fun aspect and showing people something new. And like Tammy said, it's about people come in and say, I don't have any artistic bone in my body. And I say the same thing. I said, sure you do. Let me show you. Mm-hmm. Let me show you how to drip oil onto a canvas and see what happens. Let me show you how you can delve into layers of history with oil paint and cold wax. Let me show you this. And they're hooked. Mm-hmm. They become hooked on this. Mm-hmm. So it's a wonderful thing.
I think that's so true, and that people sometimes don't see themselves, like you said, in that ability, and that just the difference is that the your willingness to go to that place, to explore that, to show up with kind of an open mind of where it might take you. And that's really just the difference between, you know, those that might have a studio space and those who are just, you know, on the beginning of that path. Mm-hmm. It might not be your end goal, but gosh, it's worth the journey to go and see what happens if you play a little bit and put some, you know, like you said, Tammy, I loved it. You know, you start with one thing and just try to put something down, you're on your way. Mm-hmm. So I always like to say, you know, pick a color, pick a line, a tool, and off you go. And you never know where it'll take you.
Yep. Art is just like walking. It's just putting one foot in front of the other and falling forward, just falling into it. You just lean into it. And the more you lean, the faster you go, the more you get to where you want to be. And it's all a journey. It's just having fun. And when people say, well, I'm just having fun, like that is nothing. Well, I'm just having fun with it. Well, yes, of course you are. God, I hope so.
Right. Don't do it if it hurts.
Don't do it if it hurts. Right. Yes. Go have fun. Because if you're doing a thing and you're having fun, then you're making art and then you're an artist.
Yeah.
Boom. Just like that.
That's
perfect. Just be an artist.
And we should tell people who want to do the studio art tour how this works, because there might be some folks who are new and this might be their first time, even though this is the 19th annual, which is a very exciting thing for the studio art tour to reach that milestone.
Free. It's open to the public. So that's the beautiful thing, is that anybody can come. You get in your car and you drive to one of these destinations. So you can either pick up a brochure at the Northfield Arts Guild, or if you're in Faribault, the Paradise Center for the Arts, you can pick it up at the Chambers, Northfield Chamber, Faribault Chamber. They're all over town. They're at the Caribou, all these different places. You can pick up a brochure. And if you go multiple days, which I always encourage people to go multiple days because there's so many different things to see, but if you're only going to do one day, you can go through the map and see all these pictures of work and be like, oh, I'm interested in that. I'm interested in that. I want to go to a place that has demos or whatever your criteria is. And you can go, and it's free. You just show up, you walk in, you experience that particular studio, and then you can go to the next studio. You can buy the artwork, you can talk to the artists. You don't have to buy anything if you don't want to, but it is an opportunity to fill your world with art if you choose to do so, or to meet artists. And the nice thing about when I used to go on the tour that I particularly liked is, like you said, you get this relaxation of the drive, you get this payoff, this little zing of adrenaline of getting to see the artwork, and then you get to go to the next site and know that you're going to meet somebody else. So I think it's a wonderful way to spend a weekend, and right now, the weather at this time of year is so beautiful. So I hope people will come out and get to experience it.
Right. 18 studios, 33 artists. So some studios have 1, 2, 3, 4. Mm-hmm. Just it varies from location to location. And like you said, there's no map that you have to follow. You don't have to do them in order, even though every studio will have a number,
right,
just to kind of guide you and make sure you're finding the right place. Mm-hmm. But you can do it at your own pace, at your own, you know, follow your desires and do a little meandering is sometimes a good thing for us to do when in a world that feels like we have so many, like, you know, check off the list, or got to do this, or got these appointments. Just see where it goes.
I'm pro meandering, very much so.
I call it sauntering.
Yes, oh, sauntering, shuffling, mm-hmm. all of these things. We should do more of that.
Yes, we should.
It's very restorative.
Right. Are there any studios you want to call out? We aren't going to get through them all. Like I said, there's 18 studios, and so many talented artists. Also, we should talk about the different types of artwork that you'll find as well.
Yeah, we have. So the interesting thing is, like in Faribault, we have Donna Johnson and Lynn Ryan, who are a mother-daughter team, and their family has been doing rose mulling and Norwegian art for generations. And so they actually have a lovely little studio at Lynn's house, and they do rose mulling and pottery and Norwegian art. And it's so fun. And Lynn and her mother are wonderful, wonderful people. And you'll never meet better people in the whole world. Sorry, Rebecca. But they are wonderful. They're favorite people. But it's fun to see that kind of historical artwork as well. And then, of course, there's jewelers. We have new Andrea Torini is new this year, and she came from New York, and so she's pretty new in the area, so it's fun to meet her and see her amazing bead and jewelry work. Sandra Sargent is new this year as well. She's a stained glass artist in Faribault, and again, wonderful person. Like, Andrea's a wonderful person too. I don't want anybody to think she's not. She's amazing. We have
filled with wonderful people.
Susie Leidner is also new this year. So she actually does a lot of different things. She does painting, she does collage, she does artwork that can hang in your home. And we have a lot of people who have been on the tour for 2 years, like Johnny Walker, who's going to be at the Paradise Center for the Arts. He's also another ceramicist, and I work with him actually at Shattuck, and he's the pottery teacher there, and he's been on the tour. This is his second year, so I dragged him in. Poor Johnny, I drag him into so many things. And then the people who've been on the tour. So we have tons of people like woodworking, Reed Hendershot, who's here in Northfield, and he does woodworking, wonderful work. And we have glass artist Patsy Dew here. She does paper work. So she does photography and then uses the prints of the photographs and makes them into these just astounding little boxes, but they have mobiles inside. I don't even know how to describe it. You have to stop by and see it. And then we have textiles. So like Kathy Anderson is doing her textiles, her weaving. She's got her looms and usually has them out so that people can actually try them and see them. There's so many more. I mean, I could go on and on and on. So there's jewelry, painting, woodwork, collage, photography. There's, the glass ornaments. I mean, it's like if you want it, it's here. You can see it. You can meet the artists. You can buy the work. You can learn how to do it. And then you go become an artist as well and get on the tour.
It might happen.
It does happen. Actually, yeah. It does happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Anything we missed about the Studio Art Tour? Again, I wanted to tell the dates. It's next weekend. Mm-hmm. So it starts, some of the studios are open on Friday. And you can get that information at their website, studioarttour.com. And that's for sort of an afternoon 4 to 8 event. And I guess I didn't look up how many of those. Maybe 6 or 8 are open that first Friday. Mm-hmm. And that gives some of the artists a chance to go and meet some of the folks on the tour. But the full tour is Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Sunday, October 8th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And there are, as we mentioned, 18 studios, 33 artists. And you can easily find them. They'll be... What should we look for the markings this year, the signage? Are there colors? What colors?
So they are white signs with black and red print on them. Although some people have older signs, which are fun. And they're different, but they have like a big arrow on them and you really can't miss them. If you see a sign and an arrow, just follow it. And then when you get there, you can pick up brochures from that artist and they will take you to the next place. So really, there'll be signs all over Faribault, all over Northfield. We do have Colleen Riley's studio in Farmington, and she has multiple artists at her location as well. And when you're heading out to Farmington, Glynis Lessing and her studio and her artists who are on the tour are on the way. And if you're coming, people come from the cities as well. And so if they come that way, they can stop at Colleen's first and come down Glynis's way, come into Northfield and head to Faribault. So there's a lot of different ways to tackle it. But the artists that we have are Farmington, Northfield, Faribault, and really anywhere if you see those signs. And there are the banners as well. Going to the website will help you figure out where you're going. But if you're in those areas, you probably have an artist who lives near you. That is my guess. So when you're driving along and you see the arrows, they will go out on Friday. So the artists all go out Friday afternoon and put up all their signs. They might do it the night before if they're feeling frisky. But when you see the signs, you can follow the signs and you'll end up at somebody's studio and they will tell you how to get to the next place.
Fabulous. Yeah, I'm so excited for everybody who's a part of the art tour and for everybody who gets to experience it. It is really a tradition, right? Mm-hmm. In the fall. And I can't wait to hear, this is the 19th year. So then I'm sure there'll be some big celebrations for 20.
Yeah. We might have donut holes or something.
You never know.
It's hard to say.
Well, thank you very much, Rebecca Tolley and Tammy Ressler, for being here and telling us about the artwork on the Studio Art Tour and for putting this all together so that folks can find the art that's in them or the art that they want to take with them.
Thank you for having us, Paula.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's always a delight.
Folks, this is Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. I thank you so much for being a part of the show and hope that you always find time to add some Art Zany to your life. And of course, in the meantime, till next time, enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault. The Paradise Center for the Arts is a vibrant cultural and artistic gathering spot in historic downtown Faribault. The Paradise is committed to offering high-quality visual and performing art opportunities for Faribault and our region. Regular events spotlight some of the best artists and musicians in our area and throughout Minnesota and the Upper Midwest. Our beautifully restored facility includes art galleries, classrooms, clay and textile labs, a gift shop and rehearsal spaces, in addition to a 300-seat auditorium. Visit ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org for a full schedule of events or call our box office at 507-332-7372.